no dejaremos que cierren la linda puerta que siempre ha estado abierta a la vida.
You're listening to Latin Radical with Warwick Fry.
Fred Fuentes in Caracas has just got in touch with us to say that the situation in Venezuela has become very tense. Relations with Colombia after recent events has increased tensions between the two countries, and he has some breaking news from Caracas. Come in, Fred.
Yeah, well, and as I had mentioned to you in our last interview just only a few days ago with Latin Radical, about the brutal assassination of one of the leaders of the Revolutionary Armed Force of Colombia, Raul Reyes, which had actually occurred on Ecuadorian territory. We've seen a dramatic escalation over the last, essentially 12 hours, as more information has been coming out exactly how Colombia violated Ecuadorian sovereignty and the implications of that has with it. So what we've seen is several thousand troops, some say up to 10,000 troops, Venezuelan troops, that have been sent to the border between Venezuela and Colombia. And at the same time, Colombia has also begun to mobilise troops to the border of Venezuela. And Ecuador has announced that it has begun to also mobilise troops towards its border with Colombia, in what we've seen is a very, very rapidly developing situation come about in the last day or two.
And is much of this being talked about on the media there?
This is big news, not just in Venezuela, but all over the world. We've been watching here on Venezuelan TV as they've been broadcasting what is being said around about this situation. And as most of the media commentators have pointed out, this has garnered much more attention than, for instance, what occurred only a few days ago when the FARC had handed over a few prisoners as part of the continuing of the humanitarian accords in order to try and reach a peace agreement. Because what we're essentially seeing here is very much coming to the fore of this battle between two policies, for not just for Venezuela and Colombia, but for all of Latin America. And that's the war policy that I wouldn't even really say is being pushed by Colombia, because the truth is that it's being pushed by Washington directly from the US in order to roll back a lot of the popular struggles that have been carrying across Latin America, and also Chavez's policy of peace that we've seen through the peace accords with the FARC and numerous other initiatives that he's been taking in Latin America.
I had seen a report that Chavez had warned Colombia that if any Colombian forces appeared in Venezuela, it's one foot inside Venezuela, that would put them on a war footing. But I wasn't aware that Ecuador seemed to be taking a similar position.
Yeah, well, essentially, you know, after investigating and discovering exactly what had occurred, it's become now blatantly obvious that firstly the Colombian government lied, in the sense that he tried to contact the Ecuadorian government in order to get approval for its bombing, which initially it said it had only been done from the Colombian side, and so therefore there hadn't been any incursion. But what has become clear now is that cluster bombs were thrown from Colombia, dropped from Colombia into Ecuador, which caused the murder of not just Raul Reyes, but some 20 FARC guerrillas. But then the Colombian military actually crossed over the border to collect the bodies. In fact, they're only just collecting Raul Reyes' bodies, which has now been photographed and paraded all throughout the Colombian media as an attempt to further whip up this war sentiment that the Uribe government is trying to push against the FARC, increasing the talk about the FARC as a key terrorist organisation, not just in Colombia, but in Latin America. So, yeah, this breach of sovereignty has meant that many countries are concerned about where this could continue to go. And already we're starting to see here in Venezuela, the opposition leader in Colombia, attempts to link the Ecuadorian government, for instance, directly with the FARC, claiming that they have seized Raul Reyes' computer and found a document that shows that there is a direct link between Raul Reyes and Rafael Correa, the president of Ecuador. And we've already heard over the last few months the Colombian and U.S. government talking about the Venezuela being a terrorist state and supporting the so-called, you know, terrorism of the FARC as part of building up this drive to provoke some kind of conflict in the region.
And has there been any statement or press release or statement from the FARC itself, from the remaining leadership?
Well, the key thing that the FARC has said is that they were going to continue to push ahead with this peace agreement, and that the best way that they can honour the life of Raul Reyes is to continue their struggle. So they've made it clear that they still want to continue to move on a peace accord, but obviously realise that the situation has dramatically changed. And this does have a very big impact for Venezuela and Colombia and Ecuador as well, because as both President Correa and President Chavez have said, the reality is that these two countries don't really border with Colombia, but in actual fact border with FARC, because the FARC control most of those border territories. So any increased attacks by the Colombian government are undoubtedly going to bring a lot of tension and a lot of conflict to those border regions. And already previously we've seen that encroach into Venezuelan territory. We've also several years ago, two or three years ago, had the case of Secret Service from Colombia actually illegally entering Venezuela in order to capture one of the FARC leaders that was in Caracas at the time. So there's always been this ongoing tension about sovereignty over the border region. And to complicate the situation much more is the fact that the most important state that borders with Colombia is actually one of two of the 24 states that the opposition actually controls. So the fact that the governor of that state is the opposition line makes the whole situation much more tenser.
Wow, yeah. Fred, are you in a position to sort of give us a blow description of this incursion by Colombia into the Ecuadorian territory? I mean, using cluster bombs, that's a bit drastic, isn't it? Was it launched by mortar or from air?
It was launched by mortar. So it was launched from the Colombian side of the border. Well, this is, as far as we know from information, yeah, although obviously more may come out. But what had occurred was that information had been given to Colombia that Raul Reyes and some other FARC guerrillas were in the area. It appears that, and once again showing the role that the US has played in all this, that it was through the use of US satellites and also information that the US had gathered that they were able to carry out this operation. At no time was any attempt made to contact the Ecuadorian government or armed forces to notify them of the presence of FARC in Ecuadorian territory or the Colombian military's plans to carry out these actions. So these mortar bombs were thrown somewhere between midnight and 2 in the morning. So this wasn't in combat with FARC guerrillas, but actually most of the photos that we've seen, particularly of Raul Reyes, show him still in his pyjamas, so obviously caught while he was sleeping. The end result was that I think some 17 to 20 guerrillas were killed. There were actually three women FARC guerrillas that were also found at the scene by the Ecuadorian military once they had got there, who had been left behind by the Colombians who were injured, but were left there at the site of the battle. The Colombians were only interested in actually collecting the body of Raul Reyes in order to sort of parade it around as their sort of victory trophy over what had occurred. And in order to do that, they obviously breached Ecuadorian sovereignty, because at no time did they ask for permission or inform the Ecuadorian government that they would be entering Ecuadorian soil to collect the bodies.
That's a bit ghoulish, isn't it? I mean, I suppose that is a tactic that I know in East Timor, when Lobato was killed, the Indonesians put his body in a tank of formaldehyde, I think on the advice of the Americans. But parading his body and putting it on the front page of the newspapers, was that just in Colombia or...?
Well, this has been predominantly in Colombia, but I think what it's about is about stirring up this sort of anti-FARC, anti-Venezuelan sentiment in opposition to the progress that has been made by the humanitarian accords. I mean, and that's what, ever since we saw the ending of the official humanitarian discussions with Chavez in late November, all we've seen is a rapidly increasing aggressive tone of the Uribe government, which had always been very aggressive against the FARC, but had become more so and now had been directly attempting to link the Venezuelan government in on the question of narco trafficking, on the question of supposed terrorism. And that was also displayed on the February 4 demonstrations that we saw around the world, which were supposedly on the pretext of wanting peace and an ending to the kidnappings, but were essentially aimed at fueling sentiments against the FARC and creating a warlike, you know, a situation or feeling amongst the people of the only way to resolve this, you know, what is essentially a political situation, is to resolve it via the military road. And that's what the Colombian government is very dead set intent on continuing to push in Colombia. But it's also part of a broader dynamic that the US is undoubtedly wanting to push, which is to draw Venezuela into the conflict in some way. In order to justify an intervention into Venezuela itself, or at the very least, you know, cause a lot of internal tensions in Venezuela. Because one thing that we can't forget is the continued presence over, and that has been increasing over the last few years, of Colombian paramilitaries, which although initially was predominantly based on the paramilitaries mainly found in the border territories and the border states, there is now much evidence coming out of the role the paramilitaries are playing, even in a city like Caracas, where they are part of organising hired assassins, where they're involved with the drug trade, causing crime, you know, creating problems in Caracas. One, as a way of undermining support for the government, but two, obviously, very strategically placed, being in Caracas, in a situation where some 4 million Colombians, out of a population of 24 million in Venezuela, there are 4 million Colombians that actually live in this country. So yeah, anything that happens in Colombia automatically has an important impact here in Venezuela as well.
Yeah, they certainly could have quite a fiscal. I had no idea that there was a paramilitary present, but sort of they're embedded in the crime networks, I guess, in Caracas.
Yeah, that's right. Throughout all the barriers, there's, you know, been plenty of evidence that has been coming out about their way that they've been infiltrating in order to bring drugs into the communities. And also, you know, as part of undermining the support of the government by continuing to make people's living very hard, they've also been directly involved in stopping community organising, you know, threatening community organisers, and also the cases of assassination of your local community leaders as well, as a way of putting a stop to that sort of level of organisation that we've seen flourish under the Bolivarian Revolution here in Venezuela.
The old death squad syndrome. And has there been any statement or word from Washington at this point, Fred?
As far as I've heard, I haven't actually come across any official statements, although they may have already released on it, and I'm sure they will continue to over the next few days. But the most recent statement, it literally was made just about half an hour ago, was this issue of the document that supposedly demonstrates a link between Raul Reyes and the Ecuadorian president, which undoubtedly much more of this sort of stuff will be coming out over the next few days to try to, you know, see how this conflict is not just within Colombia, because that's a reality. This conflict isn't just about Colombia, it isn't just about the FARC, and it's not even really just about Venezuela, it's about what's occurring in Latin America as a whole. And that's why one of the most important things, and one initiative that has come out from the Constituent Assembly that is currently meeting in Ecuador in order to rewrite a new constitution as part of the political process that's unfolding there under Correa, has called for an immediate summit of all the presidents of South America to discuss how to deal with this situation. And I think that is absolutely essential. It's interesting to note that I believe it's in the next week, was in Bogota in Colombia, there was meant to be a meeting, and still officially is going to be a meeting of UNASUR, which is the Union of South American Nations, which was formed in April of last year as a part of this sort of process towards Latin American integration. But this meeting, already Chavez has announced that there is no way that he would go to this meeting in Bogota, and I believe that President Correa has also said that he would not be attending given the current situation. But a meeting perhaps convoked in Ecuador, which is also actually the official headquarters or the base for UNASUR, that was elected by consensus, the base for UNASUR, a meeting there of all the presidents to try to come up with a situation in order to resolve this conflict is very crucial for what is occurring in Latin America at this point in time. Mm.
Oh, well, thanks very much for keeping us so well informed there, Fred, and for Community Radio Tune MFM and Latin Radical, and I'm sure we'll be in touch again.
Not a problem. I look forward to it.